Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to WrestleChat Radio's Clash of Champions review. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Clash of Champions. 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, the overall Clash of Champions featured some very good matches. Some that actually surprised me with how good they were. But it also featured, unfortunately, some very, very big missed opportunities, in my opinion. Mostly missed opportunities in storytelling and what we call here branches on the tree. In other words, different chapters and ways that things could go. And I think they really missed out on a lot of them. But we'll be discussing them individually because, of course, as predicted yesterday on our pre-show, Nikki Cross did not show up to the match with Bayley. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler were also out. And if you want to believe them, it has nothing to do with COVID. I don't believe them at all. I don't think they have COVID. I think they were around someone who tested positive, and so they were just told to stay away. Err on the side of caution. Now, Shayna Baszler, when she was confronted with this online, and someone said, is it COVID-related? She said, guess again. Nia Jax made some comment about Shayna Baszler being expecting with a pregnant emoji. She's not pregnant. They were exposed, apparently. That's all I can tell you. As far as Nikki Cross, from what I hear, they knew she wasn't going to be there. They knew she wasn't going to be there maybe as long as a week ago and continued to promote the match. I believe Nikki Cross probably is sick. So, there we have it. One match was a substitute. One match was a no-go whatsoever. So that didn't help matters. Certainly didn't help matters. But overall, I think the WWE overcame some of that. The kickoff show saw Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura defeat the Lucha House Party. Nothing special there. And again, no real storyline behind it. There was no dissension in the ranks of the Lucha House Party. There was no furthering of any angle there. It was just a good, solid match. You know, I think that's the story of the night. Is there were a lot of good solid matches, but no storytelling. Much storytelling, anyway. There was some. Mostly in the main event. So, I guess Asuka got an upgrade because she was supposed to be on the pre-show with her match with Zelina Vega, and instead they moved her to the main card. But let's talk for a moment about the Lucha House Party thing. Good match overall, Mike, but no storytelling at all. No branches on the tree. Okay, we don't have them there, so let me go to Todd. Todd, you know, it was a good, solid match once again, but I think they missed some opportunities to tell a better story.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, there was no branches on the tree in that match. It's just like a regular house show match with no storytelling right there. It was just unorganized right there. Like nothing there.
Look, I have no problem with the match. Cesaro, Nakamura, both of the Lucha House Party, all three really did a good job. But you would expect that the WWE would want to further a story in some way that we've been watching for quite some time, and Mike, the exact opposite was true.
I guess so. I mean, they've been furthering the whole possible breakup of the Lucha House Party, and what, nothing? You know?
Nothing.
I mean, and like you said, it's the story of the night. you know?
Unfortunately, it is. And that's a shame because there were some really good, solid matches here. Speaking of good, solid matches, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, and Jeff Hardy had a tremendous ladder match. Tremendous ladder match. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are very, very, very disappointed with the ending, saying Sami Zayn does not deserve, especially after missing 6 months and everything else, he does not deserve to come back here and win. But let me tell you why I somewhat disagree. While I agree with you that I don't think Sami Zayn showed very good work ethic, while other people were actually doing double duty, you know, he's hiding in his basement somewhere. At the end of the day, who needs that belt the worst to actually get over? Is it AJ Styles? Hell no. AJ Styles doesn't need any belt to get over. Is it Jeff Hardy? Probably not. Out of those three, Sami Zayn probably needs the belt the most if you're going to do anything with him. So if the WWE has decided, well, we may as well use him, he's here, then that's probably not the worst idea. And it set up a feud between two different guys, so now you can go a couple different ways with it. So I'm not terribly against it. I'm really not. I know there are some people upset about it, and some people don't like Sami Zayn. I'm not a big Sami Zayn fan. But overall, I think it's not the worst idea I've heard of. And I thought the ending was pretty clever. They had some really good spots in the match. And overall, Todd, I thought this was pretty close to match of the night.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy, they don't need titles. They already got over. They've already been over for the fans for a long time. The only person needs a belt right now is Sami Zayn to get over with the fans.
I agree. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're just going to throw Sami Zayn to the wolves and never use him, then yeah, it's a dumb thing to give him a belt. And that's what I thought they were going to do. I thought they were basically going to designate Sami Zayn as the guy who just gets his ass kicked every week. But apparently they decided no. So that is the right move. If you're going to use him, then he's the guy who needs the belt, Mike. So I'm not really against that move.
I'm not really against that as well. And like you said, the whole ending was very clever. Frankly, look, that what he did with Jeff Hardy could be very dangerous. I mean, Jeff Hardy absolutely signed off on that ending. Absolutely. When he handcuffed through his ear, Jeff Hardy had to sign off on that.
Or else, of course,
that wouldn't have gotten done. Right. So, and I mean, look, he handcuffs himself to AJ Styles, and AJ Styles picks him up. And like you said, it was a very cleverly written ending.
And right.
It may be a boring card. It may be a boring, you know, pay-per-view, but some of these things are very cleverly done and very interestingly done, you know? And it's like, okay, I'll go along with Sami Zayn the way he won. I mean, it was very well written.
Well, not only that, but it gave some character development because it showed at first Sami Zayn's attitude was, well, if I can't win, you're not winning either. Then nobody's winning. I'll handcuff myself to you. But then we didn't realize, of course, he had the key. Yeah, I thought this was a really good match. And listen, I got to tell you, everybody took some hellacious bumps. And I'm not a huge Sami Zayn fan, but he took some hellacious bumps. I'm not the biggest Jeff Hardy fan, but he took some hellacious bumps. And while AJ Styles didn't take as many bumps, man, did AJ Styles show that he still 100% has it. His timing and his out of the three, I thought, and he didn't take the bumps. I thought AJ Styles really, really excelled in this match. I'm watching and I'm saying, this isn't a guy who's close to retirement. I mean, my God, you know, his accuracy and his stamina and whatever is really pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So a great match, controversial ending, but I kind of like the ending because now usually on SmackDown, if somebody wins on SmackDown, then they're not the one who wins in the pay-per-view. And they totally went against that. They totally threw us off on that one, didn't they? They broke that rule. So I like that. Do that more often, and it throws us into doubt. Backstage, Drew Gulak defeats R-Truth to become the 24/7 champion. This is getting old, folks. This is getting old. Later on, of course, R-Truth beats him back to become the 100th time champion, I guess. I don't know how many times. Belt's a joke. There was nothing good about this. The whole mining for gold thing failed. It wasn't funny. R-Truth dressed up as a miner. It wasn't funny. The only thing that was funny, and if you're paying attention, WWE, this is what you zero in on if you're a talent scout. The only thing that was good is Drew Gulak was told to deliver the following line. I'd like to dedicate the match to Akira Tozawa, who apparently was eaten by a shark last week. That's a horrible line. The way Drew Gulak delivered that line, I laughed out loud. I actually laughed out loud. It was perfect, perfectly delivered. It was delivered like a comedian would deliver it. It was delivered with a little bit of sarcasm, a little bit of satire, but just enough deadpan seriousness that it actually made me laugh. It goes to show you that Drew Gulak can deliver on the microphone, Mike.
They can. Remember, this is the same guy. You recounted the story a couple of times that you went to see at an independent card or whatever, and
yep,
the whole hot dog store, you know.
Yes.
You know, they were having that match, that hardcore match or whatever it was, and he made that hot dog. He made the story. He made the joke about the food. I mean, why haven't they been doing this with him more? You know.
Yeah, I don't know. Now here's a memo to the WWE. 90% of the people that you have on your roster who had to deliver that line would not have delivered it that way. So if you are someone who looks for talent and looks for what they do well, you've just found Drew Gulak's sweet spot. He can be that satirical, somewhat comedic, but deadpan delivery guy. And apparently he doesn't mind doing it. So that's something you might want to look into. I thought I thought that was the line of the night. I actually laughed out loud because it was so ridiculous, and yet it was delivered so sardonically. It was just very funny. The way he did it was very funny. So Asuka gets Zelina Vega. And look, I'm not going to say a word about this as far as Zelina Vega is concerned. She showed some really good in-ring skills. But it was 5 minutes long. And if you think for 1 minute that a 5-minute match where she taps out to Asuka proves that she's worthy, you're wrong. I don't care if you made Asuka at the end say she's very good, she's like a firecracker, small but explosive. Yeah, I get it. You're trying to kiss Zelina Vega's ass, then you should have gave her 15 minutes. Because giving her 5 minutes to tap out to the champion proves nothing. Mission failed. If that's what you wanted to do, is show that Zelina Vega belongs, mission failed. No matter how much Asuka gives her props, no matter how much she attacks Asuka afterwards, the match has to be longer than 5 minutes. Because you just can't fit that in. Now, I know what happened later on. You wanted to give Asuka can't do 15 minutes, come out and fight Bayley. I get it. Although she probably could, but I get why you didn't want to. But Zelina Vega, for all she did, and she did some good stuff, Todd, she needed longer to really prove herself, in my opinion.
You're absolutely right there, like you said. Selena Vega, she's ready to wrestle, but getting a championship match, that is too early for that. They need a little more time with her to build herself up.
And even if it wasn't too early, Mike, I think the mission was make her look like she belongs in the ring with the champion and she can hang, and I just don't think it succeeded.
Right, and look, like you say, Asuka probably could. I mean, we'll talk about the Bayley match in a little while, but you look at that match and it's like, you know, 10, 15 minutes. You could you could probably have had Bayley do a 10-minute match with her. You know, not Bayley, Oscar do a 10-minute match with and then do that 15 minutes or whatever it was with Bayley later on, you know. I mean, Asuka's that much of a professional that she can do that. She's been at this for a while. She can do it, all right? I mean,
yeah, there's no doubt.
For God's sake, go back a few months at the beginning of the whole epidemic we're having now, and who was doing double shots on Raw, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she definitely could have done it. I think. You know, I'm sad because if you wanted to add Zelina Vega to the mix, I'm all for it. But I think she needed more. Anyway, Bobby Lashley defeats Apollo Crews. It was a good match. It was actually a very good match. MVP was great at ringside, but where was Retribution? The whole night long, I'm waiting, thinking something's going to happen. Nothing. No story to tell there. So what is the story? Apollo Crews and company can't beat the Hurt Business. We get it. We've been getting it for 3 months. What's the problem here? It's okay to tell a story kind of slowly, but there's no story. There's no story. The story is they get their ass beat. By the Hurt Business every time. Okay. Well, let's move on now, okay? Because this is getting boring. It's time to move on. And Apollo Crews showed that he can really hang. You know, he's very good in the ring. He's not great on the mic, but he's very good in the ring. And Lashley worked hard to make him look good, too. And there was nothing wrong with the match. It's just that I thought there's going to be a story coming out of the match. Something. And there was nothing. It was just like a match you'd see on Monday Night Raw, Mike.
Right. And that's the thing. And like you said, where was Retribution? You know, they should have been there. They should have been in this match. And look, you could have actually asked the same thing about the whole night with Retribution. I mean, you could have had them in any number of matches on this card. Maybe not the SmackDown matches because they're Raw guys. They're simply
right.
Raw guys right now. But any Raw match, any match that was promoted on Raw, you could absolutely have had them show up on it. Even the WWE Championship, I think that's the one that's on Raw, right? The WWE Championship.
Yeah.
Even that match, you know. So, yeah. Where were they?
I don't know. Again, a missed chance to put a branch on the tree, do something. How come this match was just that and nothing else? How come there wasn't a little something leading us into, oh, we might want to see what's going to happen on Monday Night Raw? Did anything happen last night that makes you say, oh, my God, I got to tune into Raw tonight? No, maybe SmackDown, but not Raw. So overall, Todd, it's a good match, but it was just like a Monday Night Raw match, really.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about the Retribution stable. This is like two pay-per-views in a row that didn't show up on the two interfering matches, especially the Raw, Monday Night Raw brand matches. They didn't show up and do anything. And just like they don't exist on pay-per-views.
And the funny thing is the pre-show mentioned them. As soon as they mentioned him, I said, well, they're showing up. I mean, they ask MVP about it. And MVP said, they asked MVP, I don't know if anybody really heard it, but they said, you think it's wise to start a feud with Retribution when you're trying to push your guys toward a championship? And he said, here's where you have it wrong. We purposely injected ourselves into this. I don't do anything without a reason. There's a rhyme and a reason to everything I do, and this is all part of the plan. Okay, well, that's actually a pretty good statement, because now I'm saying, well, what do you mean it's a part of the plan? Where are we going from here? What are you talking about? that's sort of a branch on a tree where you say, that's an interesting statement, but then nothing happens. Street Profits versus Angel Garza and Andrade. Oh, my God. Where do we begin? First, it was a really good match. I was having fun watching this match. And then the ending came, and I was a little bit confused because I'm saying, wait. Even the Street Profits look confused. Then I realized what happened. Angel Garza was hurt. He fell out of the ring, threw up the X sign right away, and the referee counted down Andrade, even though he clearly kicked out. And at the time, I guess he was holding his leg, and it appeared as though maybe he had torn his hamstring or something. But now they're saying, no, they believe it was a hip injury. And it may not actually be as severe as they thought, which, knock on wood, because I'm a big Angel Garza fan. And, man, if he has to be out for 5-6 months, that's going to hurt something awful. That's going to hurt his career something awful. Right when it's getting rolling. The latest I have, and it's not confirmed, is that they now believe, they're reevaluating him, but they now believe it was a hip injury, and it's probably not that severe. So let's hope that's the case. If that's the case, you might see him as early as tonight. And they'll just do the rematch. The ending was supposed, they were going to win. Okay? Garza and Andrade were going to win. So if you see him tonight, they're probably going to win. And Andrade will do 90% of the work if that happens. If you don't see Garza tonight, then check tomorrow. We'll have a further update on Garza's injury. But, it's not a torn hamstring, they don't think. At this point, they do think it's a hip injury. He couldn't put any weight on the foot at all, they said. He could not stand up, period. You saw Andrade down there after the match checking on him, and some doctors checking on him. The commentators didn't comment much on it. That's how you know it's real. They chose to comment instead on, well, it looked like he got his shoulder up. I think he has a legitimate argument. And they didn't say, well, it appears that, because what are you going to say? Angel Garza is hurt, so what? Then I guess Andrade's got to fight alone, But they didn't want to do that. They wanted to end the match as soon as possible. So we wish Angel Garza the best, because I'm telling you, this was the beginning of something really good for him. And I'd hate to see this stalled for 3 or 4 months, Mike. But that's the answer to the question of why the match ended weird.
Right. And I hope it's nothing like a hip point, because
right.
that's what basically ended Bo Jackson's career, both of them, baseball and the football career, is a hip pointer, So I hope it's not a hip pointer. I don't want to see a cracked pelvis bone or whatever, but a hip pointer is one of the worst things you could have for that part of the body, because that's a slow healing injury, and that would definitely put him out at least 3 months. And like you said, curtail his career.
I'm hoping. A lot of people said it happened with that flapjack move. It didn't. I think it happened when he raised his knee to try to hit. I forget which one it was. I'm going to say it was Montez Ford, but it might not have been. Because right after that, he tagged out and rolled out. And I think when he was bringing his knee up, maybe his opponent got a little too close, and he tried to pull the knee back a little bit in order not to really lambaste him with it. And it might have threw his hip out of joint. And if that was the case, and his hip literally came out of joint, that would be excruciatingly painful, and you would not be able to stand. So I'm just speculating, but if that's what it was, then it is possible that they just put his hip back into joint and he takes it easy, and maybe a couple of weeks, if that's all it is, might not even be that. Could just throw your hip back into joint. I know one time I threw my shoulder out of joint during a match and literally pushed it back in and went on. And it was sore, but it wasn't manageable. So, anything's possible. Right now it's up in the air, but the last word I got was, thankfully, they think it's not as serious as it first appeared it may possibly be. But that's the answer to what happened, Todd. So, I mean, we wish him the best, obviously.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. We wish Angel Garza a speedy recovery from that move, and it's not a pretty sight right there with somebody getting injured, a legitimate injury right on the spot on TV.
No, especially when you were scheduled to win the tag team belts. It's a shame. It's just a shame. Anyway, Bayley came down, did her shtick. Asuka came down to challenger. They had a short match. Fairly short. Bayley gets disqualified on purpose. And then Sasha Banks comes down and mounts the worst revenge attack I believe I've ever seen. She hits her with a chair once or twice and then gets a kendo stick and hits her once or twice. In between, she just stands there and says, ow, my neck. This was one of those things that if there was a live audience, it would have been met with like, huh? I mean, she didn't look... I know she was trying to sell she's still injured, which is fine. But then you go frantic for like 25 seconds where you're like beating the freak out of her. And then you do the, oh my God, my neck, you know, I forgot. She was just doing like hit with a chair, ow, my neck. A minute later, hit with a kendo stick, ow, my neck. It was a really weak revenge attack. And I don't think it did anything to further this feud, Mike. It's unfortunate because this is one of the better feuds. But if she was going to come out there, she really needed to come out there with fire flying out of her eyes, and she just didn't.
And right, and this, yeah, I agree with you. And this would have been another, I know this is a SmackDown match, but this would have been another place where you could have seen particularly the female that person's in retribution show up.
Right.
I mean, why? These two got, we know who at least two of them are, Mercedes Martinez and Mia Yim, because we can tell by the hair, all right?
Right.
The green hair, whatever it is. We know who you are, but why aren't you showing up for something like this? It wouldn't have affected anything. I mean, it would have furthered your story. It would have helped Bayley and Sasha, because you're gonna attack both of them anyway. And so, you know, why didn't they show up?
For the life of me, I don't know why they did a lot of these storytelling blunders. But again, you have to have Sasha Banks come out and literally just tear into Bayley. And then if you want her to lose that adrenaline rush and grab her neck, fine. But it came off weak. It came off not good. That's my own personal opinion. Now, as far as the Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre thing, I was just scratching my head. Number one, they put on a great match. Let me say that from the get-go. Drew McIntyre's the real deal. End of conversation. Everything he does looks real. Everything he does looks like it hurts. Everything he does is logical. Randy Orton, when he likes somebody or he really has a big match, he knows how to wrestle. He comes through. And both of them did. But the story of this match made my head explode. So the story of this match, rather than Drew McIntyre gets his real revenge on Randy Orton, is a bunch of guys who don't wrestle anymore get their revenge on Randy Orton and help Drew McIntyre, who couldn't possibly beat Randy Orton by himself without help. I don't like that story. I'm sorry. I do not like that story. Not one iota. Because if anything, it makes Drew McIntyre look like he needed the help of three people to beat Randy Orton. And if that's the guy you're going to promote as your badass champion, why does he need the help of three people? I mean, that's ridiculous. First, the Big Show puts Randy Orton through a table. And here's the thing. They're all, Christian didn't. But the Big Show and Shawn Michaels gave him the finisher. A choke slam through a table is a finisher for the Big Show. He didn't give him the punch, but the WMD. But, I mean, come on. If you get choke slammed through a table by the Big Show, how many times did we see that? And that's it for him. You know, wow, okay. And then the super kick and thrown off the top of the ambulance. Still not enough. So the actual story was Randy Orton is that much tougher than Drew McIntyre that he can survive three attacks, sneak attacks, by WWE stars and still almost win the match. So it makes Randy Orton look like the tough guy and Drew McIntyre look like the guy who needed help. And I do not like that scenario one little bit. Not one little bit. Also, I have a very huge, gigantic problem with the camera guy at the end who clearly took the wrong angle shot of Drew McIntyre missing Randy Orton with that punt kick by a foot. Okay? I had a major problem with that. You can't make that mistake. You got to take it from the angle that that the fans can't see because that looked dumb. And that hurt the match overall. So, Mike, I thought it was a hard-fought match, and these guys fought very, very hard, but I think the story was ass backwards.
Yeah, the story was ass backwards. And look, I love Shawn Michaels to death like you do, but I would much have rather seen, you know, just them use the Big Show. Because I can see, you know, yeah, he got up from it, but he didn't get up fast from it. He didn't pop right back up from it. And that's what you expect from the Big Show, from getting choke slam from that height, from that guy, from who's big. Even though the Big Show has dropped some weight recently, he's still a big guy, big strong guy, you know. And so I get that, and Shawn Michaels is Shawn Michaels, but I could have done without him, you know.
Yeah, well, you make a good point. I mean, it was early enough in the match that you say, okay, the Big Show took him out, but Randy Orton was fresh. But the other two, Randy Orton was far from fresh, and the third one being a super kick to the chin and pushed off the top of an ambulance. That should have been it. Well, then that should have been it. And it just, again, I think it makes Drew McIntyre look like I needed help, major help, to win this match. And I don't know if that's what you want from your WWE champion, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Shawn Michaels and Christian, I didn't like that part either. And the funny part was at the end when Ric Flair drove off in the ambulance with Randy Orton in the back.
Yeah, I mean, I could have lived with that because Flair didn't interfere. He was just the ambulance driver. I'm okay with that, but I don't know. It's going to be hard for Drew McIntyre to come out tonight and say, I told you I'd beat Randy Orton. You and Christian and Big Show and Shawn Michaels. I just don't like the optics of that. I just don't. Now, a very strange thing happened to me after this, and it was that my WWE network just stopped. Roman Reigns is coming out to the ring, and boom, stop, goodbye. And when I try to go back and start over, there is no Clash of Champions 2020. They want me to watch the Broken Skull session or 2019. So I didn't watch that until this morning. I knew what happened, but I didn't watch it till this morning. And my thoughts on it are this. I thought they told a really good story. For the benefit of people who say Roman Reigns isn't good at what he does, Roman Reigns is very good at what he does. I've told you that for years. The Jey Uso comeback was great. Was it a little long? Yeah, maybe. Maybe it was a little too long. But you know what? They were trying to tell a bigger story. And with Jimmy Uso coming down, throwing in the towel, I thought one of the best parts of this was that Roman Reigns didn't really look malicious when he kept attacking Jimmy, or Jay, rather. he was just calm, almost like, well, this is what I got to do. There was no hatred in what he was doing. He was just, this is what I have to do. I have to prove to you that I'm the you know, chief, the tribal chief. I'm the guy. And I think my instincts are correct, and I think the Usos are going to side with him anyway. And I think you're going to get a faction out of it. I'm almost positive you're going to. Because what I saw last night didn't look like the Usos are mad and seeking revenge on Roman. It looked like the Usos found their place. And that Roman wasn't mad or trying to put them out of wrestling. He was trying to express a point that I'm the leader. That doesn't mean you guys aren't great. It means I'm the leader. And when somebody challenges the leader of a tribe, you have to put them down. And you have to show them, this is why I'm the leader. And that doesn't mean you can't be a valuable asset. So I got that feeling that the Usos are going to side with Roman Reigns in the long run. It may take a little while. There may be more to this story, which I hope there is. But I do think that's the way it's going. And Jimmy throwing in the towel was a good addition. I didn't have a problem with this match. The only thing I did have a problem with is, again, where's the Fiend? Where's there any more branches on the tree? It seems, Mike, that they took the easy way out of all of these matches.
It seems like that, too. But also, there is a little detail that a lot of people might have missed. And it is with Jim Uso, and look at his hair. I think he has a cornrow or something.
Yep.
That's not a good guy. That's not unless you're somebody like Kofi Kingston.
Right.
That's not a good guy hairdo. That's not a face hairdo. You know. So that I like that. That's a little detail there. You know, and like you said, I've said it before, the Usos have kind of been good guys, have kind of been faces a little bit too long. They're a little stale as a face. And being said, at least in that gray area, in that gray, you know?
Right.
Because we know they want Reigns to be a heel, right? He's doing heelish things.
Heyman.
Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman's a heel manager. So I'm going to go ahead and say that at some point they're going to flip them. They're going to flip the Usos, you know. And here's something else. There's still branches on the tree because right now who's out? That's basically part of the family and is a very good wrestler. Naomi.
Right. Yeah, I think we got a greater story here. Now, they could stretch this out. They could have Jey Uso be mad at Jimmy and say, why did you throw in the towel on me, blah, 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 and maybe they fight. But eventually, I think the whole gimmick is going to be that Roman Reigns and his cousins form a faction where everyone knows their place, and they're probably going to feud with a variation of the Wyatt family. That's what I'm looking down the barrel of. Although we got no indication of, we're probably going to get it tonight, but we got no indication of that from last night. And again, your goal on this pay-per-view is to try to get people to tune into the show either Monday or Friday, where you say, oh man, I can't wait to tune into SmackDown because we know there's going to be what? I don't know. Can't wait to tune into Raw because we got to figure out what happened with what. You didn't do that, WWE. You could have. I swear to God, I thought at one point, I said, I know what's going to happen here. I got this feeling in my bones that when Retribution did not show up for the Hurt Business match, I got this feeling that when at the end of the match, when they open up that ambulance, they're all going to come piling out of that son of a bitch. And they're going to put both of those guys in the goddamn ambulance and drive it away. I really thought that was going to happen. And no, instead you just got Shawn Michaels Christian and the Big Show. I don't know what the hell's going on in the WWE universe. They don't like to tell these stories too much. However, I will say this. Look at the matches that were the most impressive and did tell the best story, and they were all SmackDown matches. Every one of them. The ladder match, Roman Reigns and Jey Uso, those are the two matches of the night. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, they're both SmackDown matches. So this goes to show you. The superior brand right now is SmackDown. Storytelling-wise and also from the perspective of how much fans care about the matches. It's not superior athletic-wise. I mean, Raw has great athletes. They're just not doing anything with them that makes them exciting. Nothing with them that makes them exciting. And that's the difference. So what was the overall pay-per-view? Well, listen, I had really high expectations. I really did. And did it meet my expectations? No, it didn't, because you didn't tell very good stories with a lot of this stuff. You know, the Cesaro and Nakamura thing with the Lucha House Party went nowhere. It may have just been a, you know, a SmackDown match. Unfortunately, we didn't get what we should have got from Angel Garza and Andrade and the Street Profits. That's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault that Nikki Cross couldn't show up. So we didn't get that. And it's obviously nobody's fault that we couldn't get the tag team match with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler against the Riot Squad. I'm not going to hold them responsible for that. But you could have got more out of Asuka and Zelina Vega. You had some time. You chose not to. You probably could have got more out of Sasha and Bayley, and you chose not to. And I'm just thinking to myself, would this have not been better if Sasha caused the disqualification, if it looked like Asuka was going to win? And then Sasha came down and cracked Asuka in the skull with something, and Bayley was like, oh, wow, you know, after everything I did to her, she's still my friend, good, and then she attacks Bayley. And then you realize, oh, she did it because she don't want nobody else getting their hands on this belt. Now I get it. That would have been a much better story. I do think that Retribution should have showed up. And I think you could have gotten a better story out of Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton other than Drew McIntyre needs the help from everybody and their brother to beat me. However, the effort that was put into this pay-per-view from every one of the people who participated in it is ultimately what's going to drive this. And I saw nobody dogging it. And I purposely watched for it. I purposely watched for people who were just going to dog this pay-per-view. And nobody did. From the opening match, from the pre-show matches, right up until the main event, nobody dogged it. Everybody busted ass. Even people I don't like Sami Zayn, busted ass. So for that reason, I can't give it an A because the bottom line is you missed too many opportunities to tell some stories. But I am going to give it a B+. I think that the matches were there and they were really solid for the most part and everyone tried hard. So I can't give this a C or a C- because why? Because the WWE chose not to tell any good stories out of it. It's not the fault of the athletes. They went out there and they busted their ass. So mine is a B+, Mike. What do you think?
Mine is a B+ as well. And I just let me speak one more time about the potential of a Wyatt family and Uso / family whatever thing. The thing is we know what they're doing with Bray Wyatt right now, basically. They're running two things with him and Strowman, and of course him and Alexa Bliss. Once this whole story with Alexa Bliss reaches is in, and we have a feeling that it's in, is her being somewhat, somewhere along the line, associated with Bray Wyatt, then if they're going to do that feud with Reigns and the Usos versus the Wyatts, then the Reigns and the Usos are going to need a female. And like I said, the odds-on favorite should be Naomi.
There's no question. If they're going to do that, if they're really going to do the Wyatt family, a new Wyatt family versus the Uso family, Naomi's going to have to be a part of it when she heals. We already know Alexa Bliss is a part of it, and I'm assuming Braun Strowman's going to be. I'm assuming that's what they've got in mind for Braun Strowman, is that he's going to fall back in because Alexa Bliss is going to will him to do it, and he supposedly is in love with her or whatever, so that's what's going to happen there. He'll fall back under Bray Wyatt's spell, so we'll have Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss, and going to have one other. I don't know who the other is unless it's going to be Bo Dallas, and they're going to try to do something with him, or they're going to bring another guy up from NXT or something. I don't know. I don't know who the fourth one's going to be, but I'm pretty sure that's three. And this should be good. I mean, it actually should be good. I'm looking forward to it, but you're going to have to handle it right. And do I have supreme confidence that you handle it right? Probably not. That's the issue, because based on last night, you had great matches. You had people ready to go, and you had athletes who were giving you their all, and you let them down as far as telling a good enough story, in my opinion. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with you and Mike here, the same grade as well.
So we're all going to B+. Let's go to our favorite match of the night. And I have to tell you that as much as I did like the Roman Reigns match with Jey Uso, and I thought for sure it was going to be my favorite, I'm going for the ladder match, Mike. I thought that was an outstanding match.
Yeah, I've got to go with the ladder match as well. And look, this is that what they did with the ladder match is they kind of turned Sami Zayn into the guy, the type of guy you would say, well, he's going to get beat. Well, God damn it, he won anyway, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the best thing you can do with Sami Zayn, by the way, Mike, because that's the character he needs to be. That's the character he absolutely needs to be. And you also did a couple of more things. You innovated some stuff. I never saw the thing before with the ladder where Jeff Hardy's climbing down the ladder, trying to like worm his way down the ladder, and he flips it over, and then it looked like a nasty bump. And to his credit, Corey Graves sold it well and said, oh, that's it. I mean, that's the end of Jeff Hardy. You're not seeing him for the rest of the match. Did you see how he landed? It did look awful. If I have any criticism of the match, it's that you pulled off moves that Sami Zayn should never have gotten up from. If you jump from that ladder and break a ladder with a man laying on it, that's probably the end of the match for that guy. And for him to come back from that, you're like, well, what is he, Braun Strowman? He's the Undertaker? Maybe you should have not done that. If Sami Zayn was ultimately going to win, you might have wanted to say, yeah, I don't think you should get up from that. So I'm not going to do that, because at some point if we have a rematch and I'm going to win or something, I'll save it for that, because this makes you look, you know, supernatural almost. When somebody takes that kind of punishment and they're still up, you're like, wait a minute. That's not the Undertaker. That's not Braun Strowman. That's not Kane. How are they taking this punishment and getting up? So if there was any criticism, it's that maybe they went a little too far with they've recovered from things you probably shouldn't recover from if you're one of those three guys. But I also thought what they did well was to have AJ Styles not fall for the handcuffs right away. He fought off Sami Zayn because he's the bad guy too. So he's like, oh, well, you know what? I'm just as sneaky as you are. You're not getting me in those handcuffs. And there was a point where I said, he may carry Sami Zayn up the ladder on his shoulder or something. And then maybe they're both going to fall off. Dangerous move if you're cuffed. It made me think. So through that whole match, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And truthfully, I wasn't sure who was going to win. And that's, to me, what made it the match of the night. I already knew Roman Reigns was going to win. So as good as the match was, that's why it's not my match of the night, because the outcome was never in question. I even when Sami Zayn handcuffed everybody, I still thought he was going to lose. I said, no, something's going to happen. He's going to lose. I don't know how he's going to lose, but he's going to lose. And when he didn't, I was actually shocked. I'm like, oh, my God, he won. And I think this sets up, if anything, through the night sets up a really good story, it's this. Because you say, well, how's Jeff Hardy going to react? He's going to want a shot. AJ Styles is going to want a shot. AJ Styles at this point's a heel. So God knows what he's going to do to Sami Zayn. There's a lot of room for storytelling in that. And I'm satisfied with the way they're coming along with the Roman Reigns story, too. I think that story's coming along very slow but steady, and it's going to be a good one. But the rest of the night didn't have a lot when it comes to branches on a tree or storytelling. And the stories they did tell in a couple of these matches, I think, were ass backwards. Drew McIntyre shouldn't need the help of three people to win if he's the champion. And if Zelina Vega belongs in the women's division fighting Asuka, she shouldn't tap out in 4 minutes and 48 seconds. I mean, think about that. If you're in a UFC ring and in 4 minutes you just get tapped out, do you belong in there with that champion? Probably not. Maybe if you do it in round three, where you're like, wow, it was a good fight for a while, but come on, man, 4 minutes, a little over 4 minutes. Eh. You needed to give her more time and more offense. So, and the Bayley thing, I thought, took a step backwards. I did not like Sasha Banks' reaction to this. I mean, Sasha Banks looked like she was, I don't want to hurt Bayley. No, she should have been out there like, I'm going to kill her. And I still say it would have been better if she attacked Asuka. Bluffing Bayley into thinking they were still friends almost. Like, well, I don't care what you did to me. You're still my friend. And then attack Bayley. That would have been much cooler. But aside from that, Mike, I thought everything was pretty solid. I'm looking forward to tonight's Monday Night Raw to see if they can rebound from last week.
I am too. And frankly, look, when one other thing about that match was the three-way match, you know, when he went off his shoulders down the other side of the ladder, that's when I knew he was going to win the match. Because when he took the key out, everybody knew he had a key. Everybody knew he had a key. When he took the key out, unhooked the handcuffs, and then took, because remember the type of handcuffs they had a long chain on the handcuff, right?
Right.
So he took the handcuff, and he handcuffed the handcuff that was on his wrist to one of the lower rungs on the ladder, to where it made sure that AJ Styles wouldn't have been able to climb back up the ladder.
Right. You know what I thought was going to happen, though, Mike? I thought he was going to drop the key. I thought he was going to show the key, and then Styles was going to kick him or something. The key was going to go flying, and for a while we were going to have a scramble of who's going to get the key. Is it going to be Jeff Hardy? Is it going to be AJ? Is it going to be Sami Zayn? Like, oh, it backfired. Now nobody has the key. I really thought they were going to go in that direction, and maybe they should have, and still have Sami Zayn get the key. But, yeah, you're right. It was a well-thought-out ending, and it showed that, you know, you can do that kind of booking and really make all the characters look good. Nobody looked bad coming out of this match.
Nobody did look bad coming out of this match. That's what you want if you want this whole thing to continue, because you know that they want this thing to continue because they still want Jeff Hardy to have somewhat of a run before he retires, and they want to keep AJ Styles happy because he's over the last few weeks he's been pissed off a lot, and of course. They're trying to make something out of Sami Zayn because of what happened last time, because everybody thought that they were gonna try and bury Sami Zayn. You know,
they even did something clever on the pre-show, and I don't know how many people watched the pre-show, but Sami Zayn came on the pre-show and he was preaching that I never lost the belt, and because I never lost the belt, I don't see how you can just say I'm not the champion. And he said to Booker T, you've been champion I don't know how many times, Booker, you saw me at WrestleMania. Did I not defeat Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania? And Booker T said, yeah, you did defeat him at WrestleMania. It was a great match. You won. You won fair and square. But he said, at some point, you got to defend the belt. And you didn't. You didn't for 5 or 6 months, Sammy. So they stripped you of the belt. You don't get to win the belt and not defend it. That's not the way it works. And Sami Zayn said, well, I thought you were going to be the voice of reason. I thought you were going to be the one to, you know, explain to these other idiots why I'm still the champion. But I can see now that's not the case. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was really prepared for this match, and you've thrown me off a little bit, Booker T. You've thrown me off my game a little bit. And if I lose, it's your fault, and I'm coming for you. And then he stormed off. And I thought, wait a minute. Are they going to do something with Booker T and Sami Zayn? Because he threatened Booker T. He said, if I lose, I'm coming for you. And I'm like, well, then Sami Zayn's not winning. So that was actually a brilliant move, Mike, because it made me think, well, there's no way Zayn's winning now. They're going to have some kind of weird thing. And they played it up with Booker T saying, what the hell's wrong with him? Is he crazy? And I thought, well, there's some kind of a gimmick going on here. I don't know what it will be, but there's some kind of a weird gimmick. But, you know, that was just a swerve, apparently.
It was and look, what have we said about the WWE? They cannot swerve people anymore.
Right.
And
so they did a good job.
Not that we're arguing that it's a bad deal. This was a good thing.
It was.
This non-swerve was a good thing.
Yeah, they had me with it. I'm telling you, they had me with that. They had me with a couple of things last night. They really did. And of course, then there were the accidental swerves where I knew the Street Profits wasn't winning. And then all of a sudden they did, and I'm like, what the hell just happened here? And I knew something was wrong. And then I didn't know Garza was hurt. They didn't focus on him in the camera until afterwards. And then I'm like, now I see. But, yeah, so there was a couple of things last night that surprised me. Overall, like I said, I'm not giving this an A+ because they could have told better stories and they could have told more of them. And they could have put more branches on the tree to a lot of feuds and a lot of things going on. But at the end of the day, they had some really solid matches and some better than solid matches. And even the match that I disagreed with the storytelling of, which is Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton, was a really good match. And both guys really busted ass. So at the end of the day, I don't see how you can give it worse than a B+. However, I mean, we're staring down the barrel of Raw again this week. And Raw last week was about as bad as it gets. It can't get worse than it got last week. It can't possibly get worse. And if it does, I don't know what to tell you, because SmackDown is absolutely beginning to take complete dominance over the two brands. It's not close. And then you know what's going to happen is guys like Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens and some other people are going to be like, I don't even want to be on this brand. This brand isn't, conducive to me doing a good job. Put me over on the other brand. And of course they've announced the draft, haven't they? So this will be very interesting. I think it's October 4th and the 7th or whatever it is. I don't know. But I think it's 4th and 7th. It starts on SmackDown. The draft actually starts on SmackDown. What does that tell you? Very interesting, huh? Doesn't start Monday night. Starts Friday. Anyway, we'll be back here tomorrow to discuss Raw. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.